Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah. You're not giving Celtics any credit right now. You're not giving Boston any credit for turning it up in the third quarter.
What are you doing right now, Kyle?
The Celtics clearly played better on the defensive end. Guess what? Right. Everybody turns it up on the defensive end. But you don't get scores like 8 points in the third quarter. Watch the playoffs. You see a lot of tough shots. I saw good defense by the Celtics. I'm not sitting here discrediting their defense, Kyle. I'm saying Indiana, even open shots, or where do they go where
so
they make
open
you...
shots they were missing? I'm asking.
Yes.
Did they get some looks?
Yes.
In the third?
Okay.
That's what your wife says to you when things are getting rough. What are you doing right now?
It's like playoff basketball, right? The Scal's going after Drapes, going after Abby, asking her to watch Indiana Pacers. You're on edge right now, Scal.
No, I'm not. But you know, I know that people talk about how we're shaded towards the green team or anything like that. And I do want those guys to win, but I got to call it how I see it. And Indiana, they struggle to score. And when I tell you before the game that they're going to struggle to score, then they have 8 points, and then you want to make it about like the Celtics turning up their defense. Please. I can't go there. Did they play better defensively in the second half? Yes. Did Indiana get some wide-open shots that they missed? Yes. Is Indiana missing Oladipo? Absolutely.
Were you concerned with maybe how that first half went? Were you surprised? Did you expect the Celtics to come out maybe stronger?
Yeah.
I was surprised. Was it just game one?
Yeah, but you watched the NBA. Everybody was playing. It's funny. Everyone talks about playoff basketball. Hey, it's really slow. You got to slow it down. You can't get stuff in transition. That's not true at all. You got to go out there and be yourself. I'll use a few around the NBA. Philly in game one, they fell into that. Denver in game one and half of game two, they fell into that. Boston in half of game one, they fell into that. Toronto, they fell into that. Go out there and do what you've been doing. Just do it harder, do it better. I get it. Teams are ready for you. They're more prepared, but that means you have to play faster. You got to cut harder, not play slower and more deliberate.
Yeah, but some of those other teams you mentioned are facing tough first round opponents. You're facing, you got an 8 seed here. If you look at the records from the All-Star break on, Pacers have the worst record of all of your playoff teams. And you're right. If they didn't have Oladipo from the beginning of the season, they're not in the tournament.
No, they're
not in it.
They're like borderline getting Zion Williamson right now.
Right.
And no disrespect to Nate McMillan and their team. Their team is filled with role players.
Yeah, but even the players right now, Collison's still not 100%. Bogdanovich's still not 100%.
Sure.
They can't shoot.
Well, are you going to learn anything from the Celtics in this series in your mind? Anything positive?
The positive is you got to get through this in four and start gearing team.
They're going
the other
four.
Night.
Right?
They're going four. Quick. So,
especially if Griffith is.
If you want to beat Milwaukee, you got to get on the same timeline as Milwaukee. You can't be in some 5 or 6 game series with Indy and Milwaukee watching film on you, getting rest on you. It doesn't work like that. They have to take care of business, and they have to establish some sort of dominance tonight because they know as well that if we're going to beat Milwaukee, we got to play better than what we played game one.
See, my thing is the whole flip the switch, right? We've been hearing it for a while. I always look, when I think of flipping the switch, I just think of LeBron's teams. And I always feel like during the season at some point they show how they can play dominant basketball, whether it's for a month, right? And then all of a sudden they coast. But they know it's there.
Sure.
This Celtics team, talking about flipping the switch, they never showed me for a month.
You sure?
I don't think they did. I don't think they
last
showed
3 weeks of the season. And
defensively, maybe.
Absolutely. And now, when I hear switch, I don't think offense. When I hear switch about LeBron, I think offense. When they talk about flipping the switch, I think it's defensively. Multiple efforts, fighting through picks, not going under, not laying out loft and letting a guy shoot a pull-up jumper and then shrugging your shoulders and going the other way. I think defensively is flipping the switch.
So you think this team can?
I think they already have.
See, because we played sound of Colin Cowherd, and he said there's only three teams built to win a championship. He said Houston, Golden State, and Boston. And to me, everybody felt that way in October. You look at the South, and you said, man, they're loaded, right? There's talent everywhere. Yeah. But then when you watch them, you say something doesn't seem right. I don't know. On a roster-wise, they should be, I feel like. But after watching for 83, I don't believe it.
Oh, they are. But you have to also add Milwaukee into that and add Toronto into that. So I don't know what Colin Cowherd's saying. I think Boston's in that conversation.
They should be. They should be.
They are in that conversation. But you have to also add Milwaukee. Milwaukee's in that conversation as well. And Toronto is in that. Did you guys watch Kawhi Leonard last night?
Yeah.
I mean, like they're in that conversation as well.
Well, his reasoning, I think, was he didn't believe in Kyle Lowry. And one I didn't get was he doesn't trust Chris Middleton. And I'm like, did you watch him last year against Boston?
I'm like that with Eric Bledsoe. I don't know if Bledsoe's going to deliver over the course of a grueling series with the Celtics. But I will say this, not having Marcus Smart, ooh, that's going to hurt. It's not going to hurt in this series.
No,
it's not going to hurt in the next series.
Oh, yes, it is.
And by the way, they're going to get Brogdon back in the next series, too.
Yeah,
that's going to be a big boost for them. By the way, Scal's appearance here is brought to you by your 2019 Mercedes-Benz A-Class. You drive up in one?
Right. An A-Class and a little for me. I feel
small. Is that a little?
Look like a bigger? You're a big fella.
we can work something
out. I need like a G-Wagon or something. But A-Class is nice for people that want to commute.
So you So you tell me, tonight, do you not, and we know how these series work, you start to, it's different than the regular season. The regular season, you're playing a different team every night.
Sure.
In seven-game series, it becomes one game, you make adjustments to game two, adjustments to game three.
Yeah, they get smaller and smaller as you go along.
You're much better than this team. By tonight, in a home game, don't you need to establish your game here tonight? This should not be, even without Horford. And Smart,
well,
this should not be. This should not be a close game.
He's the glue.
Oh, he's going to rag on him again. It's all over
him
again.
You gave that up.
He's
yet?
The glue.
No, he's giving it up.
Have you not?
He's doubled down today.
No.
You
the
can't
glue.
Down
no,
on
here's
Al
the
Horford.
Thing.
No longer average. It's the glue.
I haven't got on Al Horford all year long because I think this is like the perfect team for him. He's got so many scorers out there. He can do his thing. I know what he is. He's a coach's dream. He does everything, all the little things. He's outstanding. I was getting on him a little bit because of the credit of being able to bring the ball up court. I think that's a little overblown. The fact that he's a big that can dribble when his guy's at the free throw line waiting for him to come. You think if Collison was D'ing him up, bringing the ball up the court, he'd be okay?
Yeah.
Do we give him too much credit for able to dribble? Scal, you can dribble because the guy's covering you is at Hold the free on. Throw line waiting for you to show up. You can dribble.
I don't. Are we really having the average Al conversation again?
Oh, yeah, we were. We're throwing it up.
Glue. It's you're the like glue now.
It's like if there is an average Al and an awesome Al, it's just you on an island by yourself.
I'm fine with that.
And he's had a good year.
He had a good year.
He had a great year.
It's a perfect team for him. It really is.
Al is the most important player on the Celtics team.
I personally think it's Kyrie, but if Drapes thinks it's Al, that's fine. But that's fine. But if he's not playing, obviously there's no one that can do what he does.
Sure, there's be fine no depth today. There. I just, you know what? I'm not trying to disrespect Indiana. I'm really not. I don't know if Al being there today will affect winning or losing. The Celtics should win without Al Horford if you're playing the Indiana Pacers. I should come in right before the Milwaukee, because then we can have a real conversation.
We'll get you back
about
the Milwaukee
what
series.
Really
no
matters.
Question.
What matters to win and lose? It's hard to even say.
You think it's disrespectful if we just spend the next half hour talking about the Milwaukee series? Because I don't. I think we can do that.
Can we?
Let's put it this way. You score 84 points against Milwaukee, you're going to lose by about 23.
Yeah,
that's what you're going to lose by.
It's a great call.
Right? So they score 74. Pacers get 74 the other day. Milwaukee had 70 in the first half against Detroit. Okay. Totally different series. The one thing I'll say about the Pacers, and you tell me, Scal, they play their ass off,
okay,
and they play defense. They're willing to commit themselves to the defensive end of the court. But that can only take you so far if you get nobody can put the ball in the basket.
8 points in the third.
It's a joke.
You can't do that. It's a joke.
And
for them, it's tough, man. Like, and I'll tell you what, if Oladipo was there, the conversation would be completely
totally
different. Because he's a beast.
By the way, they were terrible at the free throw line the other night, too.
I know.
If they were good at the free throw line, we're not talking about a 10-point game.
It was a 20-point game in the third. That 10-point game at the end.
Probably.
You know, the Celtics had 17 turnovers, shooting less than 36% from the field, and they were up by 20.
And how many of those games do you win in the regular season?
Zero.
Anytime, zero.
Zero.
84 points. You don't
zero.
Win.
Do you like Jaylen Brown
yeah.
in that starting lineup? Or would you have gone Hayward?
No, I would have gone Jalen Brown.
See, I think Hayward's gotten comfortable coming off the bench. Eventually, I don't think that's his role next year, whatever it might be. But yeah, I like giving Jalen a little bit of that confidence and putting him in the starting lineup.
I like Jalen because defensively he is good.
Yeah.
He's long and he plays hard. He runs the floor. He's not Marcus Smart. He's not replacing Marcus Smart. He's being Jalen Brown in the starting lineup. I like the decision. Probably irrelevant. I mean, we really should be having these conversations in about a week
Milwaukee,
or 10 days.
Yeah. So, in other words, this is a fluff series. This means
is like the get ready for the play. This is the flip the switch.
You know what he picked the series?
Seven.
He picked it in seven.
No, Celtics you did.
He did.
Yeah. Why you listen? Like, you listen to Draper too much? Well, you listen to both of us. Ignore what he says.
No, and it's not. And I know what Indiana is.
I'm talking about the X factor.
I just have had so many issues.
It's
trusting
always in your ear.
I can't trust this basketball team. I just can't. Like, it wouldn't shock me if they lose tonight.
No,
it wouldn't.
No but way.
It wouldn't.
It would shock me. Oh, would.
I mean, after watching Indiana up close and personal, I understand. There was a part of me that said, "Eh," but I'm sticking with it because
you can't.
I don't trust them.
It's like average Al. You're sticking with that too.
Whatever it takes.
See, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they lose to the Pacers in one of these two games out there in Indiana. That would not surprise me.
Sure, it's hard.
But you can't lose against this team. If you lose this game here tonight, then we should be all over them tomorrow because it's all on them. This team's not good enough to go and beat them at home. They're not good enough.
Shouldn't be.
No.
They should be looking at Milwaukee and saying, like, guys, we need to get ready for them. This is not – I know it's weird to think you're moving on or thinking ahead. But if you're watching this, you got to say, guys, we need to get through this series, get in, get out, and start preparing for Milwaukee.
All right, so let me bring up Milwaukee with you because we were talking about this with a caller earlier. And people blowing off Milwaukee, they're looking at last year, and they're looking at what the Celtics did against Milwaukee. There are a couple things that have gone on here. First of all, you've got a coach right now, defensive-minded coach, and they play D. They will make stops, all right?
Yeah.
Second of all, it's a better cast of characters, especially with the bench. And Giannis is a much better player than he was a year ago. You agree with that? Better player.
But there's one thing that if you want to really get in, like we'll get geeky here for a second.
Go ahead, get geeky.
So Budenholzer is a big-time rotation coach.
Yes.
So there's Toronto, they switch everything. And typically with the Celtics, when they're going against teams that switch, they seem to have problems. When they're going against teams that rotate, help off, fly out, make multiple efforts, get teams flying around – Brad Stevens, over the course of a series, figures that stuff out. Okay, you're going to come off of this guy when I do this, and I'm going to put this guy there. I'm going to put this guy here, and all of a sudden, we're going to get this shot wide open, wide open, wide open. And now it's a matter of will the guys hit him, will they hit him on the road, stuff like that. So I like to bet with Brad Stevens against teams that fly around and rotate. I probably bet against Brad Stevens against teams that could switch and play you man up. So if you look at Toronto, they'll switch Kawhi Leonard onto you, then they'll switch Siakam onto a guy, then they'll switch Serge Ibaka onto a guy. They're a big-time switching team. I love Brad Stevens against rotation teams. I think him as a coach, he's been doing this since college. He figures out where your weakness is at, and now it's just a matter of guys knocking down shots.
Does Milwaukee not switch because, you know, they don't have the length? The athleticism was just more of just a philosophy.
It's a Budenholzer thing.
He did it in Atlanta.
He does it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's – I mean, they switched to a certain extent. They switched more than they did in Atlanta. But they are – like just like LeBron and why he picked that Atlanta team apart because he's going to also find where you're coming from. He's going to find a wide-open guy. He's going to put a guy in that position. Brad Stevens does the same
thing. It's interesting you bring that up because I think when – and we've talked a lot about coaching. In the NFL, to me – the NFL head coach is the most important if you're talking about all the sports. I think the regular season NBA coach, I think it's important, but it's not that important because you're playing three games in 4 nights.
Baseball's the least. We all know it.
Right. You're tired. You don't know what you're getting. You're traveling or whatever. But when you get into the playoffs and you're on a schedule, the same schedule, and this schedule has got 2 or 3 days off in between these games.
Just this one.
But coaching is important because it's making those adjustments. It's trying to see if you can exploit something where the other team is weak. Would you agree coaching in the postseason is important? In the regular season?
I don't think it's – I think it's important all the time. But, you know, I'm not saying it's more important than the NFL. To me, from the outside, I think the NFL coach is probably the most valuable of all the coaches.
Yeah.
But I do think in the regular season it matters because you got to pick – the right type of guys and put them in the right type of situation. If let's use last year for an example. And Brad last year was really interesting because of the guys getting hurt and what he did with those guys. But if Shane Larkin lives to get to his right hand, and he'll design plays for Shane Larkin to get to his right hand against defenders that can't slide their feet to their left. So that kind of stuff you have to know, and he did a good job with that stuff all last year.
Yeah.
This year I think it's probably a little less irrelevant. Maybe this year is more about like placating each guy and making sure everyone's getting the right amount of shots. But the last 3 weeks, his whole focus, because I'm in every huddle, his whole focus has been defense, 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 grinding out on the defensive end. I think that's a smart move on his part.
We're going to take a break, but I just want to hit on that last point you're saying. So he's a great teacher, and you're talking about teaching and the things that he does. But does he have a more difficult time when you're dealing with marquee talent right now and you're trying to get them to all blend and play together?
I don't know if he had a more difficult time doing that. I know he has, in the past, had guys make sacrifices for each other because it was easy when you had, like, a discrepancy of talent. But now, you're asking a Jason Tatum, a Jaylen Brown, a Terry Rozier, asking all those guys to sacrifice when they had all that success last year. It's not an easy thing to do in our society now, especially when you had success and everyone is telling you around you how great you are. It's not an easy thing to do. So right. I don't think that he's bad at it. I just think that it's a hard thing to do for anybody.
All right, one more segment with Scal before he goes over and joins the Green Teamers over at the TD Garden for tonight's big game. We'll get back to it.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Horford to the basket and got fouled.
Ooh, I like that play. Al Horford gets a screen from Jason Tatum, which means he's going to have a mismatch. That is aggressive Al.
Vucevic picking up that foul. Aggressive Al. I like that.
Yeah, that is pretty good. Well, there are nights that he just plays like an average player. They're all...
Wow. Wow, Scal, I can't believe
I want to thank you for that sound. I just want to say.
Played right into Lou's wheelhouse.
I like aggressive Al. It's usually playoff Al. I'll give him that much. I like him.
We might not see him today.
We may have Al coming.
The glue's got the flu for game two. What do you do?
Scal's with us. So we wanted to ask you about Lou before the break. You wanted to talk about Kyrie Irving.
I'm curious where you're at. You know, it's been such an interesting year. You know, Christian at one point early on said he's kind of comparing to David Price. And I was like, no, you're way off. But it did seem like my thing with Price was always like, let me talk about what you do great. What you do great is pitch. Just don't let me talk about the stuff off the court. And when he holds press conferences sometimes he gets so deep that you sit there and just shake your head like, man, he's a deep thinker.
Who are you talking about right now? Kyrie Irving.
I wish
you
would just
Kyrie
play
or
basketball.
David Price?
Well, they're both in similar in that way.
Okay. But you just said they weren't similar.
Well, as the season went on, the more I heard these press conferences sometimes and I heard him speak, it's like, you know, he's searching for answers. I think like he's searching for the meaning of life, seems like. Kyrie.
Oh, I don't care about that kind of stuff.
So there's fine.
Yeah, I'm not good when it comes to like when he goes off on a tangent or teammates or any of that stuff. I don't like I'm from the school of just hoop, man. Like I don't care what you do, just go out there and hoop. I'm not going to blame you if you lose. I'll look at the numbers. The numbers show when you're on the floor, the team is good.
So on opening night, he told you and the rest of everybody at the Garden that if you want me back, I'm coming back. In your opinion, has any of that changed? Because I think we all expect him to still be here.
You expect him to be here through the playoffs.
Well, I expect him to re-sign here still.
Yeah, but I think there's a lot of variable to that. There's so many variables that I don't even think he knows or Kevin Durant knows or anybody knows because there's the Knicks at play with... they get the number one pick with Zion Williamson. Let's say they trade that for Anthony Davis. That comes into play. If they don't get the number one pick, that comes into play. LA Clippers come into play. The Lakers are coming. I mean, there's a lot of variable with this. How the team does. Do they beat Milwaukee? Do they beat Toronto? All that stuff comes into play. And I think that's the way it should be. Like the Celtics.
So he got ahead of himself opening night. I mean, kind of like, I'll be here.
Or strategically, he's like, I don't want to deal with free agency talk. And then somewhere along the line, he took a left turn.
He made the mistake of telling you that.
No, that wasn't necessarily a mistake. It bought him time.
I plan on re-signing here next year.
Yeah, but if you're going to do that, you've got to stay with
no,
it.
No, you don't.
Sure you do. Sure you do. You've got to stay with it. Because the public's going to sit there and say, well, what are you doing? You're playing games with me.
You don't ever plan on something and things change?
Yeah, but he's doing it in the public out there.
No, it's all right. It's how it goes. It's how it goes.
I felt at the moment.
I plan on this. I plan on doing that.
So they're still
engaged.
I plan
on going to the finals. Yeah, so you're telling me, let me just ask you guys, if let's go the way opposite. Celtics have a terrible year and they don't even make the playoffs. You guys expect him to sign? The guy is like trying to, he's trying to win championships in his career. Now, whether it's here, which I think it should be because of the culture and the teams and the players they have and whatever, I think it's with these young guys or it's with Anthony Davis or whatever. I think this is a great place for him. But that's me.
All right, let me ask you this way, because you said a lot of it depends on, because the other stuff you talked about with the Knicks and everything, it makes all the sense in the world. You said it might depend on how this team finishes. So let's say this team loses in six games to Milwaukee. He's going to be pissed, but we're still talking about the beginning of May, the end of April, okay? There's plenty of time before he's got to make that decision. That's a long time for the emotions to change.
Sure.
Won't it depend more on what Danny Ainge tells him about what we're going to do now to build the team for next year, as opposed to how the team finishes this year? He can write the team off losing in Milwaukee and say, these young kids weren't ready for the big moment.
100%.
Right. So I want to find out from Danny what my team is going to look like next year, and if I like that, that's where I'm going to sign.
Yes, and he can also see these guys perform and say, we're right on the cusp of taking the next step, and I want to come back and take this journey with you. That could happen too. So there's all kinds of answers here. My personal opinion, I don't even think Kyrie knows what he's going to do. And I love when people say, hey, do you think Kyrie will be in Boston next year? And people come in with a definitive yes or a definitive no. There is no way they know. Just like no one in Golden State knows is Kevin Durant's coming back. And no one here knows. And no one knows anything.
Why is everybody saying Durant's going to New York? Everybody seems to know that.
I have no idea. I just heard that Durant is being linked to the Clippers. So no one knows when July 1st rolls around and everything unfolds and who wins the championship and all that stuff comes into play. Then we'll have a better idea of what guys are going to do. How does it work in baseball free agency? Does anybody really know where anybody's going?
It's different. And I'll tell you why. Because in the NBA, when you're a free agent like Kyrie, you know the dollar figure. You know the years.
Oh,
so you pick where you
want
to go. No, in baseball, you know, 5 years, 140. Oh, I can get you 7 years.
Then you know what I mean?
So you're chasing the money more.
Your 5 year maximum in Boston, or your 4 years maximum somewhere else.
Baseball is money. Basketball is.
I got you.
Everybody can give me the same amount. So where do I want to go?
No, Boston could give him more.
Well, yes, the team. So let me ask you this, because everybody talks about Anthony Davis, and I think that's the prize jewel. What if Durant opts in, sign and trade? Who would you rather have? Durant or Anthony Davis on this team next year?
I don't think that's possible.
Well, Chris Paul, right? When he opted in with the Clippers to make a trade with Houston, they unloaded salary and they made that work. Durant could do the same thing.
Yeah, but do you know, I think he's playing for $25 million this year.
He is.
What he's set to make, like 36.
So financially,
it doesn't make sense. So, I mean, I guess he could play for $25 million this year and then become a free agent.
In your dream world, who would you rather have?
Ooh, I'll take either one of them.
So Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to avoid.
Drapes would have given us an answer.
I'm not trying to avoid the question. Like, maybe the one I would have to give up less for. I don't know. Maybe it's Anthony Davis because he's going to leave there. Maybe it's Golden State because I don't know. Either way, I'll be happy with either one.
And
of
I know
them.
You don't play this game, you know, on the broadcast. We do on radio.
I'm sorry, Anthony Davis. He's 26.
Yeah.
Durant's 26, 31.
Right.
Yeah.
We play this all the time, right? Anthony Davis trade. Who are you willing to give up? And then it turns into Jaylen and Tatum and this guy and that guy. Like, do you bring your mind to there? I know you guys don't talk about because you don't want to throw around saying, yeah, I would rather trade Tatum and then show up the next day and be like, hey, Jason, I'm going to trade you. You know, so
no, whatever,
are you comfortable like, giving up both those kids?
Yeah, I'm sure like whatever.
Would it take that?
I don't know what it would take or not. I don't.
You talked to David, Danny. You're tied David, in with Danny. You know all the talks.
No, I do know some things, but I don't know what it would take to get Anthony Davis. That's a David Griffin question. They just hired
David Griffin,
their GM, now. Yeah. So I would think to get a guy like that, it's probably two youngsters. But, you know, the Celtics team is loaded, and they have picks, and it would take a lot. It would take a lot of picks. A lot of it depends on where this Memphis pick finishes up. Yeah. You know, I know that New Orleans is really interested in this Memphis pick if it doesn't convert this year. So if it's next year's unprotected, yeah, people are really interested in that Memphis pick. So there's a lot of variable where Sacramento finishes and the lottery, and there's a lot of variable to
Let me ask you this. Are you concerned at all? And I hear a lot of people say this. Danny can't give up these kids and get Anthony Davis to have him for 1 year. But I look at all the contracts in the NBA right now, and when these free agents move, they've got opt-outs after a year, after 2 years, after 3 years. There's no long-term, five-year solid deals anymore?
Oh, yeah. Rookies like Zion Williamson. You're getting him for 8 years.
Yeah, but if you're getting a free agent, those guys are getting opt-outs. They want to be able to, and some of them want to get to the 10-year point where they can get 35% of the salary cap.
Look at you. You know the cap.
Yeah, he's a cap guy. That's good.
You're right. People want to hit that 10-year mark, and then at that point, they can get more without losing their supermax positioning and all. Oh, you're right. So, yeah, there's some variable to that.
So why should we worry about Anthony Davis if you're going to get him for one year?
Because he's represented by Rich Paul. That's the only thing. That's the variable.
So you get LeBron with him.
Let me just ask. All right, you two. You are so you're Wick and you're Pags.
Okay.
You're trading your youngsters for a guy who on paper has said, or my dad has said, or whatever was said. He doesn't want to play for Boston.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so am I too.
Because wasn't that said just to sort of force him at the deadline?
Sure, he wanted him to go to LA by that Thursday. Yeah, sure. By Friday, if you ask the old man the same question, Boston. I love Boston. Yeah. Right?
I'm with you guys. I don't think that deter anything.
People say stuff right now just to, you know, facilitate where they want to go. Sure. That's what they're saying. And then you already said it. Kyrie said something to you one day and may mean something totally different a couple of months later.
And he has the right to do that. Mm-hmm. Just like Anthony Davis. Like I'm not a big fan of the way that AD handled it this year and like playing 21 minutes and kind of throwing their organization under the bus. But, you know, the guy doesn't want to be there anymore. He wants to go and play for a championship. That's his right.
Do you like the T-shirt in the last game?
That's all, folks. I like that he said, I don't pick out my clothes. And then like 2 months earlier, he was like on the barbershop with LeBron, I'm my own man, I'm my own CEO. I just don't pick out my own clothes.
So you got the big game here tonight. You're in the studio with Drapes.
Yeah.
Okay, Tommy's got the game.
Tommy does have
next
the game.
Round. No more local, all national.
Yeah. So everyone out there, you have a choice. You can watch the national feed or you can watch the local feed. And I'm not saying that Tommy's not coming back. I'm sure he'll be back for the next 10 years. But this is like Tommy's a national treasure. You should listen to Tommy just in case this is his last game, at least for this season. So definitely you guys tune into NBC Sports.
Because he won't go on the road. You don't have the road games?
I'll have the one road game. We lose the National Sunday, and then this series should be over in four, so there might not be any more games.
All right, so here's the good news. If you can't catch Scal on any of those that he was just talking about, you can catch him on radio.com. He's got a podcast now, Big Time Basketball.
I think it's The Big Time Basketball.
The Big Time Basketball.
With the White Mamba? You throw that in there?
No, just Scal. But, you know, we kind of like did the name late, so we just threw that out there. The Big Time Basketball Podcast with Scal.
Oh, I like it.
All right, Scal.
I like it. We'll check it out.
Great seeing you.
All right, Scal. Thanks,
buddy. We'll get you back in the Milwaukee series because then we're going to start talking NBA.
This works for me, stopping by on the way to the game.
Terrific. It works for us too, as well.
You got it, guys.
Except he sounds just like Fourier, doesn't he?
That's what people keep saying. I don't get it.
On the text line, he's saying, is Fourier back? I thought he was on vacation today. That's Brian Scalabrine. Thanks, Scal. You can catch him on radio.com. It's all brought to you by the 2019 Mercedes-Benz A-Class. We get to your phone calls coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on WEEI.
I like Jalen because defensively he is good.
Yeah.
He's long and he plays hard. He runs the floor. He's not Marcus Smart. He's not replacing Marcus Smart. He's being Jalen Brown, the starting lineup. I like the decision. Probably irrelevant. We really should be having these conversations in about a week or 10 days. Yeah.
So, in other words, this is a fluff series. This is like
the get ready for the play. This is the flip the switch.
You know what he picked the series?
Seven.
He picked it in seven.
No, you didn't.
He did.
Yeah. Did you listen to Draper too much? Well, listen to both of us.
It's amazing. Even, you know, I hope the players aren't feeling that way about Indiana. This is not the fluff series. Let's move on to Milwaukee. Let's already get there, right? Maybe not.
Yeah.
This hour of the program being brought to you by Window World of Boston. Visit windowworldofboston.com today. One more thing about the Celtics. We didn't get into it, talking about Gordon Hayward. And he's a guy that over the last 3 weeks, Scott was talking about over the last 3 weeks, defensively they were starting to get a lot better, starting to look like they flipped the switch a little bit on the defensive side. But on the offensive side, there were some moments in which we were all sitting there going, now Gordon Hayward is the second best player in this team. But I don't know about you, I don't see it consistently every single night.
No, we haven't.
So when you're talking about who you play, when you're taking Marcus Smart out, whether you play Jalen Brown or whether you play Gordon Hayward, I still think that Hayward is not real sure of his role. And there are nights in which he's a main featured guy, and you see the numbers, and you say, wow, that's the second best player in this team. And then there are other nights you sit there and say, is he really totally engaged?
Well, reality is that that's kind of way the season should have gone with as many guys that they have in my mind, right? I mean,
yeah.
There should have been nights where when Hayward's taken, you know, 15, 16 shots a night, then there's nights where he's taken five or six, and, you know, because other guys are going, because Jalen Brown's going, because Tatum's going, Kyrie, Horford, Marcus Morris, whatever it might be, he had a lot of hot hands, a lot of options, but I don't think that was the case. It just looked like he wasn't involved at times. It looked like he wasn't aggressive. He wasn't looking for anything, you know, even if other guys weren't going. So I just think there's been just inconsistency from him. I still think that he's the difference maker. I really do. You know, I mean, you kind of know what Kyrie's going to give you. I think you're going to know. You know what Al's going to give you. Again, I said the X factor is probably a guy like Morris because I know he's going to chuck it 12 times a game. Is he hitting his shots or not? But really, to elevate this team to where you think you can be, I still think it's about Gordon Hayward finding his game.
Well, you could look at Morris the other night. Where would that team have been at halftime if Morris didn't have first half? Right. If he didn't have the big first quarter, where would they be? So you got the Bruins, you got the Celtics tonight, you've got the Red Sox. We're going to get into a lot of them coming up in the next hour, take you right up to the game with that. And you got the latest on Bob Kraft, and we're going to get to that. So let me get back to the Bruins, because the question here tonight is, what does Cassidy do with that first line? Does he break it up or does he keep it intact? Now, those that cover the pucks up there in Toronto are telling us that at the skate today, he kept that first line intact. And he is saying, though, it is all subject to change, that he's doing it right now because he feels that by talking to these guys, he can start opening up their game. We can give you the numbers. The numbers are frightening when you look at it. And it all involves Mike Babcock and the Toronto Maple Leafs, because they seem to have found answers on slowing down or halting that first line. So we'll take the last two playoff series. So we've got three games here. We've got seven-game series last year in which the Bruins won 4-3. They're down 1-2 in this series right now. So you've got 5 wins and 5 losses. In the 5 wins, Marchand, Bergeron, Pastrnak, their number one line, 11 goals, 23 assists, a plus 31. In those 5 losses, same guys, 1 goal, 1 assist, and a minus 22. And they're heavily weighted to the home games. So in their favor when they do well, which means when Cassidy can sit there and dictate the line changes, they seem to light up. When they're playing on the road and they don't have that option, it becomes a lot more difficult for them. So what the hell happens tonight, by the way? They're playing on the road.
Well, I'll say for morning skate, I think Cassidy was talking about a couple of changes. It looks like Coleman is out and Johansson is going to be in. And he's going to put him on that second line. Backus will stay with that third line. And it looks like John Moore is in and Kampfer is out. So Moore will be with Grizzlick. Johansson that second line, Backus stays in the third. I don't think you can continue to just bang your head against the wall. I think he dropped the ball in game one. He sort of just left Bergeron out there at home against Tavares, even though they bottled him up. You know that Bergeron last game was 12 for 25 in faceoffs?
Yeah.
He lost a couple of big ones late in that game. Out now. Yeah, but he lost a couple of big. He lost 13 faceoffs.
Yeah.
To me, on the road, you have to split him up. Now, maybe he starts with him. I don't think it's going to take long for Pastrnak to go down in that second line. And maybe Heinen comes up. Maybe Johansson goes up. I don't know what it is, but Pasta's got to come down on the road and force them to try to defend two lines. You know, because at home, I'd probably leave Pastrnak where he is, but do a better job of getting the matchup that you want, like he did in game two.
Well, maybe if anything, Lou, he might have to split him up because he's got a five-man shadow now when you add the two first-line defensemen. So maybe he's forced to break them up. And if you do that, maybe you open up some daylight now for Pastrnak. I mean, you've got to do something. These numbers are off the charts. I mean, when you look at these numbers and you see it's all about the first line. All about the first line.
No, you're right, because it's Muzzin and Zaitsev. Those guys are out there with Tavares, and they've just been bottling up that first line. And what bothers me is those numbers, it's so glaring. You know what those lines, that first line did last year. They're the best line in hockey this year. I mean, it was outstanding. Toronto's strength is, as far as advantages coming into the series, was depth into forwards. I mean, that's just, it was. So could they afford Bergeron, you know, going out there against Tavares and holding that line a little quiet? They can more than you can. You rely on your first line more than they do. So when you hear Bruce Cassidy talking about after game three, it's almost like he's sitting there saying, hey, they're not scoring either, so we'll take it. And I don't agree with it. We do have it. We got it somewhere.
I know.
Well, I don't know if they hurt us tonight, did they?
Them in terms of preventing.
Well, I thought we did a good job against them. They're an offensive line as well. What, Tavares had 47 goals. Marner's a 100-point guy or whatever he is. And Hyman chips in. So, you know, we've got to be careful. We keep them off the score sheet, too. Now, power play's a different animal. Guys can get going there.
Yeah, we're not talking about the power play. I'm just talking 5-on-5.
Right, 5-on-5.
I don't think you can play to a push. In other words, if Tavares' line is they're not in the scoreboard and neither are Bergeron's line, you lose.
Right.
I think you lose.
Right.
So you got to do what you can to move people around.
Right. Well, they look at the Bruins and they say, if we can shut down the number one line, and they've done an effective job in the games that they've won, not just this year. Same coach did it last year, right? Same team. Similar team. Tavares was not on that team. But will you look at it and say, we can shut down that first line? We got them.
And the other thing, too, is, you know, taking advantage of their weaknesses, defensive core. I mean, that's the issue for this team. I forget what player it was, but he made the comment that if we get the puck behind the net, you know, the defense will break down. And they haven't done it enough. Yeah. They haven't got people out in front of the net. You see the goals that they're scoring. You know, the rebounds, putting it back in. They haven't put pressure on this defense at all, in my mind. Now, game one was sloppy. Game one was, you know, you talk about puck management. That was the big word after game one. Defensemen couldn't handle the puck in their own zone. Way too many turnovers. I think you've actually saw a turnover. I think it was Bergeron had a turnover in game three. So you got to take care of the puck. But more importantly, I think you got to get your best players going right now. And you do that by mixing and matching.
Listen, it's the most important game of the crew tonight. If you're talking about games, Celtics-Pacers, if the Celtics lose it, maybe it'll extend the series a little bit. I'm not sure you lose it. This is not a must-win game for the Bruins, but you really don't want to go down 3-1 against them. And the Red Sox-Yankees is a regular season game in which we're probably not going to have a you're not going to probably get much out of the Red Sox here in this game tonight. So is it an important game? Yeah, it's an important game for the Bruins.
Well, it is, especially given what happened, you know, out in Columbus. You know, you talk about an opportunity. I mean, it's realistic now. We kept saying, you know, the worst part about the Bruins is that second round they got to play Golden State. Well, it's one of the biggest upsets I think you're ever going to see in the playoffs. A team like Tampa Bay set a record, tied a record for 62 wins to get swept in the first round. Now, be careful what you wish for, right? Because there's a reason why Columbus beat them, but still, you have an opportunity now. And I think this is what Bruins fans or Boston fans, you look at and say, World Series, Super Bowl, Stanley Cup. I mean, that's kind of what you're facing. That is the reality. Got a tough opponent in front of you, but you're right. This game four all of a sudden becomes must win.
Some good news. The first player to arrive at the TD Garden tonight was Al Horford.
Oh, there you go.
He's above average when it comes to being timely. So he showed up before anybody else showed up. But getting back to the to what happened with Tampa Bay, and I love that you guys ridiculed me the other day, and then last night you watched it, you turned it away from the Red Sox and the Yankees,
elimination
and you were thrilled about it. It was unbelievable what was happening to them. But it can happen in the NHL. It's not going to happen in some of these other leagues. The NHL is so different. That's why the whole regular season is a total waste to me. And I know they've got to play the games and, you know, people have to show up and they've got to, you know, create revenue or whatever. But really, when you get into the postseason, anybody really can beat anybody.
Play to win the game.
How many sports can you say that in? You really can't say that in many sports, right? And there are probably teams that didn't make the playoffs this year that if we would have suddenly put them in the tournament and had a couple of teams, they, because they were hot at the end of the year and they got their act together, they might have knocked off a team or two
in a playoff. But it was an elimination game. So this was, I think, I don't know, it was more entertaining than maybe the game that you were talking about. I think that was
the game I was talking to was, no, it was not.
It was game seven.
I meant to say it was game three.
I did. It was 4-3 when I turned on.
It was like game seven.
6.5, 7 minutes to go, and I felt like, honestly, I did. I feel like it was watching USA-Russia. Because every time Columbus cleared the puck, I'm just saying, the place was going nuts, and every time they clear the puck, and that was like the memory, too. You're looking up at the scoreboard. You're looking down. You're looking up at the scoreboard. They clear the puck. Here comes Tampa. Oh, the turnover. They clear the puck. You look up at the score, the time.
It was the same way with game.
And not only do I like it, but I want to spread it on toast and eat it.
How about that?
I'm telling you, the third period in game three was exactly like that because all of the pressure was being put on Bobrovsky. It was all Tampa Bay in the third period, and because of that, that was the crucial period. If Tampa Bay comes back and wins that game, they probably come back and win the series. It's a totally different series, but it was unbelievable. But that's what I was trying to convince Christian last week. That's the difference. The NHL playoffs are so different from the regular season, and you could see upset. Anybody can beat anybody. What's to say that Columbus is not the team right now? Maybe they're the best team in the league right now. Maybe they go on. I mean, they beat Tampa Bay.
They're very good.
Maybe they go off and take this thing over. Bob Kraft had an interesting day, to say the least. So earlier in the day, we had prosecutors who were basically saying, we've got a shift here. We're going to release the video ASAP. And the reason we're going to release the video is it's not about the Bob Kraft case or the other Johns who were involved at the spa. It's about the owner of the spa and a case of prostitution for her. And we want to be able to release the video for that case to prove that there were sexual acts taking place in the Orchids of Asia spa. So suddenly the Kraft attorneys went into overdrive, and apparently they were able to stop this from happening. We could have had some naked Robert Kraft on our little computer come tonight. So we're not going to now because the judge has ordered that the state of Florida cannot release it until there's a hearing.
So this came out earlier in the morning because the prosecutors, they obviously have another hearing, right?
April 29th.
April 29th. The two women that were involved. So they came out, prosecutors. The court papers, they sent them in, and this is what they said. It said, as custodians of the records, cannot delay the release of records to allow a person to raise a constitutional challenge to the release of documents. The Public Records Act does not allow a custodian to delay the production of records to allow the resolution of constitutional challenges to the release of the documents. So they sat there and said, you know what? Everybody has them. They sent the papers in, and sorry, we're the state of Florida, but this is what we do. Everybody can see the evidence. And that's when Kraft people came out and, you know, they obviously filed another one. And then the judge said, nope, we're not going to release the evidence until there's a hearing. So it's just a crazy day down there in Florida. And you just like, we're still going through all of this, right? People are sending in motions left and right. The judge is probably sitting there saying, you got to be kidding me. I mean, this is like a misdemeanor case. Why am I working so hard?
Well, no? because you've got a prosecutor that obviously sees a big fish here, a billionaire. He's lawyering up. He's bringing the big
guns. Obviously, he's digging in, too, because, you know, let's face it, Robert Kraft is digging in. He's got the three high-priced lawyers.
Yeah, but there's no reason that they would have to go to this extent. If there were trafficking involved, then I could totally understand it. You'd sit there and say to Robert Kraft, hey, listen, sorry, the guy, you went into the place. We've got a bigger problem here. This is a major crime that's being committed, and we're just going to let this video out. I totally get that and understand that. That's not the case. And there's some question now as to whether they even had means to get video access of these guys having the sexual acts.
I love this other one because apparently there was an agreement. TJ Quinn went on to tweet out that Kraft's attorneys are accusing Palm Beach County State Attorney's Office of breaking a promise that they made Friday not to release the evidence until a judge okays it.
They're playing games.
Oh, everybody is.
So you don't think that's what's going on? That they're sitting there going, who the hell's this billionaire from up north?
Sure.
Coming in
challenging
here.
Challenging us.
Exactly. Trying to play games with us. Well, you know, we'll fry his ass. Throw the stuff out of TMZ. And so then they do it today after they come up with an agreement on Friday. They sit there and say, hey, come on. What are we doing? It's Wednesday. Yeah, we're going to throw it out here right now. We're going to release it right now ASAP. And they use that under the guise of we need it for the, actually, not for the John's case. We need it for the case of the woman who we've arrested for prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they do it. And then the lawyers battle back and forth. I just see no reason that any of this stuff should be released. And notice what's happening now, Lou. You're getting the other Johns, none of them going by name, all being admitted in court with the name of John Doe, and they're all fighting back. They now want to sue. They want to sue the county if the county releases that tape out there for the damage it will do to them. So you're getting other guys who are claiming that when you see the video, you will not see a sexual act, but they're fearful that's going to get out there because they had a legal massage and they just don't like being caught up in all of this stuff. So now it's just getting stupid, isn't it? Stupid.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's when's the hearing again?
April 29th.
Jeez, it can't come soon enough.
April 29th. This thing's going on beyond April 29th.
Well, we'll see.
1992.
We'll see.
And if he loses, he could still appeal. So this could go out for quite a long time.
This is going on to the 2021 football season. Good I God. Think this is not going to end at all.
Is it over before the bye week? Week 10?
Yes.
Because that would be first, second week of November.
Yes. He may lose the first, eight games?
Oh, we should have bet on this.
He could lose the first eight games and come back slightly before the bye week. Mm-hmm. All right, 617-779-7937. The Bruins, the Celtics, Kraft on the table, the Red Sox as well. We'll get into a lot more of them coming up in the next hour as we take you up to the game. We're going to go 30 minutes commercial-free coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.